Meningiomas are common intracranial tumors with a vast female predominance. The majority of these things are benign, with a World Health Organization grade of 1, but about 15 to 20% of these can actually behave atypically. Those are called grade 2, and rarely, about 1 to 2% of the time, they can have malignant transformation. That's World Health Organization grade of 3. Now, even though their etiology isn't completely understood, there is a role here for sex hormones, both in their incidence and in their growth, specifically synthetic progestins. One that has really gotten most of the attention has been cyproterone acetate. That's cyproterone acetate, or CPA, and that's typically not used that much in the U.S., but it's used much more commonly abroad. Again, cyproterone acetate as a synthetic progestin. That first came on the scene since about 2020 and 2021. But now, a new observational study from France, published out of BMJ, has raised new warning flags for a similar association with a super common birth control that's worldwide and exists here in the U.S., depo-medroxyprogesterone acetate. This thing is hot all over the news over the last really about, 2 to 3 days. So here's the question. Does Depo-Provera cause brain tumors? It's very important to put this study into proper context, and we're going to do that in this episode. So we're going to go through all the data, go through some history, and then talk everybody off the ledge about Depo-Provera. So let's cover the good, the bad, and the unknown regarding Depo-Medroxyprogesterone acetate and brain tumors. Here we go. Just trying to keep everyone up to date on evidence-based practice because medicine moves real fast. This is Clinical Pearls.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
My. I mean, birth control is, you for every win that we get, like the O-pill, which has now gone over the counter in the U.S., something else gets thrown under the bus. I mean, seriously, in a time when we need much more positive news about contraception and easier access to all types of birth control, something like this goes all over the press. I'm going to read you some of the headlines because calm down, people. Calm down. I mean, everything taken out of context is like the sky is falling. The sky is falling, and it's really not. Yeah, this story has traveled like wildfire over the last 2 to 3 days, and some of the headlines are really scary. Remember, the job of a headline is to be clickbait, right? They want you to jump on that story. So it's if you just read the headline, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm not using that thing. Now, I don't like Depo-Provera very much compared to all of the others. I'll explain why in just a moment. But in some cases, it is totally legit because it sure does beat a mistimed or undesired pregnancy. Am I right? So there's a place for it. But if you read the headlines, there's no place for it. And that's why we have to put things into perspective. Take this headline from the Daily Mail, released on March the 27th, 2024. Quote, alert for millions of women taking contraceptive injection as a study finds the drug may raise the risk of brain tumors by fivefold. Yes. Fivefold is a big deal, but hold on, we have to put that into perspective. Now take a look at this other headline from The Guardian, also from March 27, 2024. Quote, hormone medication could increase the risk of brain tumors, a French study finds. Women beware. Dong, dong, dong. I mean, right? You're like, oh, let me click on that joker. I mean, what is happening here? And it's not just news sources from abroad, because right here in the U.S., through U.S. News and World Report, they posted this headline, quote, hormonal meds for birth control, menopause linked to brain tumors, end quote. You see, if you don't understand what linked means, link in the most people's head means causes. And it is not. Link means association. It maybe goes with, but linking slash association and causation, as we've said many times, are two completely different things. And yes, don't send me any messages. I get that. Some links and associations later are found to, in fact, be causal, but not all of them. Some simply stay as associations. HPV was first considered to be associated with cervical cancers. Now we, of course, know that it's moved beyond association. HPV, especially the high-risk types, in fact, are causative of most, if not all, cervical cancers. So yes, that potential is there, but we're not there yet. And this study that we're going to cover has a lot of things to put into perspective and some real limitations, okay? Let me just give you one take-home message before we even dive into any of the data. This does not mean that Depo's going off the market. It's not getting a black box warning, although the label is changing to reflect this, and I'll explain in a minute. It just means it's part of informed consent, all right? Now, I don't like Depo, and I'll explain why in a minute, especially for prolonged use, because I think there's so many better options. Plus, going in every 3 months for a shot in your arm or your upper buttocks is literally a pain in the ass. I mean, why would you do that? We've got so many other things that don't have some of the issues that Depo Provera has, which I'll discuss in a minute. So I'm not a fan of Depo Provera. I always list it, of course. I did include it in my discussion because I have to be fair and open when a patient asks about contraception. And then I give them pros and cons. Hey, it's 3 months. It works. It's user-free. It works super well. But there are some cons, and I'll explain that in a minute. Of course, and then there's mainly two medical conditions where it really tends to have some value, especially in severe cases. And I'll explain that in a minute. Of course, you may know what those are already, but I'll drop that as a little clinical pearl in just a moment if I don't forget. No, it's on my outline, so I should not forget, okay? But all to say, look, I offer it if a patient wants to take it. I'm not going to dissuade her from it. And this is going to be one more thing I'm going to discuss and then put the numbers in perspective like I'm going to do in this episode. Because taken out of context, I mean, people go nuts. They lose their mind.
Have you lost your mind?
Have you lost your mind?
You lost your mind.
Have you lost your mind?
You lost your mind. Excuse yourself.
My. I mean, I'm all for new data, for sure. But sometimes things are more alarmist in nature when taken out of clinical context. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do here with this brand new publication. I mean, it's still smoking and smoldering from coming out of the oven. It's that fresh, all right? What was that about? If y'all don't know, I haven't had lunch yet and I'm super hungry. See what my mind just did there? Like, I got this idea of a warm loaf of bread. It's like steaming, and that's the article. I don't know what the heck that's about. Mike, you better trim that stuff out. All right, so let's come back to this study. And here's what the gist of it is. It linked certain progestogens, not all of them, all right, but certain progestogens, and some aren't even here in the U.S. We have an international audience, so some are in the U.K. They are definitely in France, because that's where the study was from. But there's mainly two that aren't here in the U.S. But the others that they covered do have a place here in the United States, and there's some that were not looked at, and I'll explain that in a minute. But for certain, just not all of them, but certain progestogens and natural progesterone itself was not one of them, right? These are typically synthetic types that they were linked to meningiomas. And that in and of itself is not necessarily new. And I'll explain here in a minute, because there was another publication from 2021. And if I was that author who mentioned something very similar to this, my response would be like, oh, what the hell, man? Are you serious? I tried to say this 3 years ago. And even that study had a lot of confounding factors. But you see how nothing is new under the sun. This topic is not a brand new eye-opening thing. This has already been published, guys. And oddly enough, listen to this. It's what you choose to look at. Okay, you've got to put everything together because oddly enough, in some data, birth control pill use, which includes synthetic progestins, have been published to have a decreased risk of other kinds of brain tumors, namely gliomas. All right, so remember, what we're talking about here is meningiomas, which the vast majority are benign. Then there's the more deadly, if you will, gliomas that have actually been found to have an inverse relationship to birth control pill use. And of course, birth control pills use have synthetic progestins. That was published in January 2024. All right. So just 3 months ago or so, this study came out from Neuro-Oncology, and just to be clear, this is not the focus of this publication. We're talking about the one from BMJ that came out like 2 days ago, okay, at the end of March 2024. But just about 3 months ago, going to be 3 months ago because we're about to enter into April, on January 2024, out of Journal of Neuro-Oncology, there was a separate meta-analysis that concluded, here it is, guys, listen to this, quote, our pooled results strongly suggest that sustained HRT, so menopausal therapy, and oral contraceptive pill use is associated with, here it is, don't lose this, reduced risk of glioma development, end quote. Wow. Well, that didn't get on the news. That didn't make a bunch of press because that's like, man, nobody wants stuff that's good. Nobody wants stuff that's going to reduce a comorbid condition. We only want the stuff that's going to make us sick, right? I mean, that's what the headlines want you to believe. And they're like, okay, well, that's interesting. And people looked away like that. That would be on the last page of a newspaper in the old days, right? But now the BMJ is on the front page of the newspaper with its link to this vastly benign condition of meningiomas that happen predominantly as women get older. And we'll put that into context. And I'm not making light of meningiomas. I don't want any kind of tumor growing in my brain. Can I just, let's just say that right now? None. No, thank you. I opt out. So don't get any ideas. I opt out. Hopefully caffeine is in some kind of repellent to brain tumors because I drink enough for like six people. So I don't want any of it, even if it's benign. But just because it's benign, it doesn't mean that it's not problematic because it can cause dizziness based on where it is, some hearing loss, some vision issues. It can cause instability with balance based on location. And if it gets big enough, then you really have to remove it because it starts getting pressure necrosis around the other normal brain tissue. So just because it's majority benign, it doesn't mean it doesn't need surgery. Okay, so I'm not making light of meningiomas. I'm just saying that the majority of gliomas are much more likely to behave aggressively as compared to the more benign variety. So according to this data that came out, guys, same year, 2024, out of the journal Neuro-Oncology, hey, maybe HRT and OCP seems to reduce gliomas. Of course, the pushback from this study is that even that was controversial. Even though this was a systematic review and meta-analysis, other individual reports have stated, No, wait a minute. It's actually an increased risk with OCPs. And OCP use is actually increasing at the first part and then actually goes down and then may rise again later on, like a U-shaped response. So even that is controversial. But this systematic review and meta-analysis from January 2024, their conclusion, which I read, I'm looking at the paper right now, quote, our pooled results strongly suggest that sustained HRT and OCP use is associated with reduced risk of glioma development, end quote. So again, as we look at the entire picture, not just this one puzzle piece of meningiomas, we got to put it into the entire context. Let's look at the entire puzzle with all the pieces together. In some data, as recently as the beginning of 2024, persistent use of OCPs, which include some of these synthetic progestins, and HRT reduces the risk of gliomas, which are typically, but not always, malignant, but may increase the risk of meningiomas, which are typically, but not always, benign. How about that? So my first rebuttal would be, okay, well, as we get through the data, okay, there's a fivefold relative risk and odds ratio increase for meningiomas. But what about the reduction in gliomas? See, that's not brought up. I'm just trying to put all the data together. And I'm not trying to defend Depo-Provera because I don't like it. I'm just trying to give us a fair representation of everything and why a fivefold risk, which sounds super alarming. I don't want a fivefold increased risk of anything bad. However, fivefold increased risk of something that's really, really small becomes just really small. Does that make sense? So just it's really rare, and then you get a fivefold increase, so now it just becomes rare. So it's not like it's common, and that's one thing that gets lost in a lot of this translation. This is still rare, so I've already kind of let everything out in the beginning. We haven't even gone through the study, but that's basically what I wanted to say. If you put everything into context, it's not always bad. You got to take a look at the entire thing. Plus, this is not the first time Depo-Provera has been tried to be kicked under the bus. Remember, this has been the whole thing like 20 years ago about, oh my goodness, don't use it for more than 2 years. You're going to break everyone's bones. You're going to have 20-year-olds with hip fractures. Yeah, no, we're not. Yes, you do get a drop in BMD, and that's one of the reasons I don't like it, especially in very thin Caucasian women. There's so many other options for that. And I mean thin and Caucasian because they tend to have a lower bone mass compared to somebody else who's not that, all right? So I'm not making some kind of weird racial statement. It's just what the facts are. So I don't like it for that reason, but Depo-Provera went under the bus for that. And then back in 2011, some data suggested that, oh my goodness, if you're using prolonged Depo-Provera, you're gonna impair your cognition, like you're going to get permanent pregnancy brain. And again, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus for that either. There is some data that pregnancy brain is legit, that exists because of progesterone's remodeling of the brain. I have an episode on that. So mommy brain or pregnancy brain, yeah, that's not just being tired. It's not just the discomforts of pregnancy, although those are definite confounders. Pregnancy brain seems to be a thing. I mean, you can actually look at the brain on neuroimaging and go, whoa, some stuff like highlights differently when women are pregnant. Super fascinating. And I know I've got an episode on that somewhere in the archive. All to say, back in 2011, researchers concluded, quote, our findings suggest that MPA, medroxyprogesterone acetate, leads to long-lasting cognitive impairments in the rodent, even in the absence of circulating MPA in animals given prior MPA treatment, which may relate to its effect on the GABAergic system, end quote. Wow. Okay, so this wasn't in people, this was in rodents, but the fact is they gave some forms of Depo-Provera and their little brains like acted differently even when the medicine had cleared. So great. Put that in the con side of Depo-Provera along with this one. That was actually published, again, 2011 in the journal Psychopharmacology. All to say, everything's got some issues, okay? All right, birth control pills with estrogen, that can make you nauseated and make you puke until your body gets used to it. Yeah, that's a thing. All right, Depo-Provera, maybe because of its effect on the brain, it's kind of a depressant effect on the brain through the GABAergic system. Maybe some of those effects may be a little bit long-lasting. Maybe, and that's with like really high dose and for a long period of use. It's just part of informed consent. By the way, the whole effect on the brain and acting on the GABAergic system, and that's one of the side effects of Depo-Provera. Birth control pills, there's no data that decreases libido. Mirena, actually in some studies, they had an increase in libido. They're like, woohoo, this thing works great. Not worried about mistimed pregnancy, so let's get it on. I mean, some of those actually increases libido. But the one that may have the strongest, again, association, not a true causation, but association with decreased libido is Depo-Provera because of also that it's a very big dose of a progestin that has that effect also on mood and the brain, all right? And so it's super controversial, but sometime in the past, there were some correctional facilities for sex offenders. They were giving them like high dose Depo-Provera as a way to take away sexual drive. Did y'all know that? That was a thing. California, of all places, was the one who actually trialed that. And there's some publications came out of that in habitual sex offenders as a way to medically castrate someone, Depo Provera. These men were given Depo Provera. And it has to do with that effect on that reward system and GABAergic system. So that's one of the negative things about Depo, that if there's going to be a change in libido, it'll probably be towards a negative with that one. But birth control pills, there's too many confounders. Nothing's really been legit that says that. Same thing with Mirena. Nexplanon, same thing. There's no evidence that that really causes any decrease in libido. But all to say, so nothing is perfect. And this just goes into another one of this cons column. But yeah, I mean, Depo Provera has been thrown under the bus for many, many years. And so this kind of news isn't really new. Plus the idea of a potential link with medroxyprogesterone acetate and these kind of CNS tumors. I mean, that was published in 2020, 2015. There's been other publications that have tried to say this, although those studies, again, weren't as big as this one, and they had a lot of conflicting issues. Podcast family, I mean, look how controversial this stuff is, okay? I'm going to read you one other publication. Remember, all of these are on our reference list, yada, yada. I've posted that several times on Insta and on Facebook, and you know where to find that. But there, look how this is controversial. All right, that's why you got to look at all the data, not just one. And that's what the and I love commentaries and giving quotes for stuff. We do that frequently. I have something in my inbox right now asking for something about the O pill. I haven't responded to that yet. All to say, there's a place for me. That's what media does: is bringing news to the masses, but it's just supposed to bring the news, not try to spin it for clicks, all right? And that's why you got to look, and this study, I'm not minimizing, this study is important. Wow, okay, it's a fivefold risk of meningiomas. Patients need to know that. But it's still pretty rare, so let's put that into context. However, don't think this is like the whole burden of evidence, because not everybody agrees even with that. There's a publication from 2021 out of the journal Endocrinology, and I read this entire publication, and listen to what they concluded. Quote, "Evidence from published data does not seem to support an increased risk of meningiomas with oral contraceptive pill use. Data is too scarce to conclude on fertility treatments as well. Based on studies demonstrating the expression of hormonal receptors in meningiomas, therapies targeting these receptors have been tried and have failed to show an overall favorable clinical outcome in a meningioma treatment," end quote. Okay, wow, did y'all get that? Now, it's not medroxyprogesterone acetate. I get that. But it's still in the family, if you will, of synthetic progestins, okay? So in 2021, as a journal Endocrinology, they're like, well, look, OCPs don't seem to have anything to do with meningiomas. And in that separate publication, may decrease glioma. So those are good things. But it's this issue, is it all synthetic progestins? No. The take-home answer is no. That's why I wanted just to briefly mention this 2021 publication, Endocrinology, that uses synthetic progestins in oral birth control, and there was no association there. Plus, if it's a direct link, then you would think that given an anti-progesterone would help shrink these tumors, and that's not the case. So it's unclear. We know that they have progesterone receptors, absolutely. And I'll give you that data in a minute. That's absolutely clear. But is it just at the initiation? Is it an initiation and necessary for sustained growth? It's not really clear, because if you give a progesterone blocker, they don't get smaller. So is it one way? Like, it only works in the positive growth way and not in the reduction of growth? We don't really know yet. But my point is, look how you have to put everything in perspective. So I don't want people to take away this idea that synthetic progestins obviously are bad. I mean, that we just should not use them. That's not what this paper said. Because oddly enough, levonorgestrel was like, hey, there's no association here. So plan B, not an issue. Mirena family, not an issue. They did not have enough data to study something like the implant, like Nexplanon, because etranergestrel was not investigated in this. We don't know that. But the one that really had the biggest odds ratio for meningioma use, and remember, this is observational study, guys. This is not an RCT. It's not even a prospective cohort. This is a retrospective data with case controls, those that actually had the mass, and then they went back and looked at the information, case matched to 5 normal controls for everyone that was a mass. Okay, I'll explain that in a minute. So it was a case control study for everyone that was a mass. They matched it to 5 other controls to make sure they weren't missing anything based on age and obviously gender and where they lived and residence. So it's a good design, but it still doesn't prove causation. So out of all of the synthetic progestins, it seemed that two, which we don't have in the U.S., were kind of thrown under the bus, and then medroxyprogesterone acetate in the form of Depo-Provera. Otherwise, the other ones seem to be in the clear, or we don't have enough information for that. So I don't want the take-home message to be that all synthetic progestins are bad. They are not. And natural progesterone, progesterone itself, was not associated with this change. It seems to be with medroxyprogesterone acetate as a synthetic analog. And remember, that's not the first one, because CPA, cyproterone acetate, has also been linked with meningioma development in previous studies. So not all synthetic progestins are bad. Only the ones mentioned in this paper and the ones that have U.S. implication mainly is medroxyprogesterone acetate. Thank you for being part of our podcast family. We really are grateful and thankful that you've chosen to take this journey of medical education with us. You're listening to Clinical Pearls. Yes, we're going to get into this brand new BMJ publication for sure. But before we do, let's just take a step back. Let's breathe and go, is this even plausible? Well, we've already hinted to this. Yes, there's plenty of data that progestins can affect meningiomas. We know that meningiomas, for some reason, like progesterone receptors. That's been proven on lab modeling and animal studies. We know that that's legit. The presence of sex hormone receptors in meningiomas has been known for about 40 years. This was last published February 2023, just 1 year ago, guys, in the journal Cancers. As the authors wrote, quote, "As expected, the vast majority of meningiomas express progesterone receptors in almost three quarters of cases." So, okay, guys, so that's 75%. Here they go on to say, "Less than half express androgen receptors, and a very small part express estrogen receptors at about 11%, end quote. So here's the idea. For some reason, they don't like estrogen so much. They don't like the androgens. But man, they really like these progesterone receptors. And then, but here's the important thing, guys, because you're like, okay, damn it, that seems to make sense. It seems to, okay, maybe if you give excess progestin in that amount, like with MPA, 150 milligrams every 3 months, maybe it's like wigging out these primordial or early onset meningiomas, and you're just putting fuel onto that fire. Possibly. But here's the good news. Watch this. Always put it into context, right? Because if you just hear that, yep, they have progesterone receptors. They like them progesterone receptors. You're like, man, that's a bummer. But wait, here's the good news. Quote, paradoxically, so here it comes. Whenever they start off a sentence with paradoxically, something good's going to happen, right? So paradoxically, the presence of progesterone receptors is associated with slightly more favorable prognostic factors. Thus, grade 1 meningiomas, they go on to say, express progesterone receptors in more than three-quarters of cases, while grade 3 meningiomas, remember those are the bad ones, express it in less than 20%, end quote. In other words, yep, these things, it might grow with medroxyprogesterone acetate. That makes sense. We know that they've got the antennas for it. But here's the good news. They tend to stay benign. Well, you see, it's all that you got to know the proper perspective. That wasn't in this publication. That wasn't in all the commentaries that I've read. Guys, I sat up late last night looking up all these things. I had flow charts. I'm super type A. Meanwhile, I just need to go to bed because I worked this morning. But anyway, so I'm like, oh, why is no one's bringing this up that it seems to be on repetitive studies? While yes, there's progesterone receptors, they actually tend to be a favorable prognostic thing. That it tends to protect them, so to speak, from malignant transformation. Or it could be that malignant transformation loses their progesterone receptors. All to say, if you bombard them with progesterone, maybe they keep their antennas open for business. Wild. So you see that. So again, as it states, quote, Paradoxically, the presence of progesterone receptors was associated with significantly more favorable prognostic factors, end quote. And let's leave it at that. Again, the title of this 2023 publication from February, just a year ago, was, quote, Hormone Receptor Expression in Meningiomas, a Systematic Review, end quote. All right, let's keep moving because we got to start wrapping this up. Okay, so here's the study. The study was from BMJ. It just got released about 2 days ago. And just for point of reference, I'm taping this on March 29th, 2024. And the title is Use of Progestogens and the Risk of Intracranial Meningioma, National Case Control Study. And remember that this was published out of a France database, right? So not Italian, not U.S. It was mainly out of France. As we mentioned before, this was an observational study using a case control design, which is pretty good. But again, still observational. Observational studies cannot prove causation. For this study, the researchers found every case, and for every case, they matched it to 5 women without meningiomas for a total of over 90,000 reviews that they did based on their date of birth, their area of residence, and of course, these were all in the female population. Now, the research team tracked women's use of progestogen drugs, specifically progesterone itself, hydroxyprogesterone, which there wasn't a lot of data on, so let's just say that, progesterones that were not here in the U.S., mainly medrogestone and promigestone. We don't have those here in the U.S., but medrogestone and promigestone were associated with meningiomas. But again, those are not in the U.S. The others are here in the United States, including levonorgestrel. What they found was prolonged use, which was counted as 1 year or more, appeared to have an increased risk of meningioma, specifically from hydroxyprogesterone, at 5.6-fold increased risk. So let's stop here for a minute. So more than 1 year of use, less than a year, by the way, posed no risk. There was no apparent increased risk by using these medications less than 1 year. So it's not like you get a shot and, oh, well, goodbye. I wish you and your meningioma well. We'll see you later. It's prolonged use. And remember, observational, not causation. And we'll get into that in a minute because the older you track women, the more chances they're going to get it because older age is an independent risk and it happens in females. Y'all remember, let's stop here for a minute. You remember the previous publication that we reviewed? I think it was last summer. And we did an episode on this that, oh my gosh, birth control pills are linked to depression. That was another headline because of a same database search. And again, link means association, not causation. And it caused all this like controversy, like, oh my God, I don't want to get depressed. I'm going to drop my pill. This is the time to be not dropping the pill. The pill is fantastic. Less cramps, less ovarian cysts, less pelvic pain, less bleeding, less PMS. I mean, my goodness. And again, who is more likely to be depressed, males or females? Females, and some of that is because they're more likely to go in and get help, so they have more diagnoses. Men just suffer and make everybody miserable, as I've said that many times in the past. But so number one is more common in females, and number two, they're more likely to get a diagnosis, and number three, what's the most common medication that females take? Birth control. Hello, that's called a huge confounder. It's kind of the same thing here, all right? So there's a lot of conflicting and confounding issues, even though the study was well done, and I'm not minimizing it, that there is an association that's fivefold higher. But what do those numbers actually mean? Let me tell you what those numbers mean so we can counsel patients correctly. Because I know someone's going to come in, if you got a patient on depo, she's like, I need you to MRI my brain and do it now so I can look for meningiomas. Relax. No, typically not happening in a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old, especially if you're asymptomatic. This thing happens with progressive age, number one, okay? But here's what the numbers look like. So let's put them into perspective. If you assume a population affected size of per 10,000, okay? So for every 10,000 women right now in the general population, about 40 can expect to be diagnosed with a meningioma before they turn 80. Okay, so for every 10,000, 40 can expect to get that. I don't know, 40 out of 10,000, I mean, you know, it's not huge. But now, according to this study, if you do the math, according to this relative risk increase, this number goes from 40 in 10,000 to 200 per 10,000. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's 200 over 10,000. 1,000, and the majority of these are benign. Majority of these don't cause symptoms. So do you see what I'm talking about? Yes, it's a big deal. Going from 40 to 200 is a big change. But the denominator is 10,000. Interesting. Again, I'm not saying to, I'm not trying to defend Depo Provera and, you know, say this is not legit. It's a super fascinating study. But we've been using Depo for like 50 years. It's okay. I mean, you know what else really sucks? A pregnancy when you weren't expecting it. So let's put everything into perspective, okay? Or use it maybe for a year, which is how I like to use it so we don't get into the prolonged issues of weight gain and the bone loss issues. Plus, in those two conditions, like a refractory or very hard to control seizures, Depo increases the seizure threshold. Damn, that's a win there. For patients with bad sickle cell disease, it can decrease crises. We've known that since the 90s. So sickle cell disease and in certain patients with epilepsy, Depo may have a role as long as there's no conflict, of course, with anti-epileptic medications. So there is a benefit here. So that's what those numbers look like. Everybody good? This study showed that instead of 40 per 10,000, if you do the math, it'd be 200 per 10,000. And it's not all of them. Remember, it was mainly for MPA and some weird ones that we don't have here in the U.S., but are left up there in France, okay? Did you like that? In France. But we don't have those here. Also, levonorgestrel was legit. It's like, hey, it doesn't seem to do anything. Etanercestrol, not enough data for that. And we wouldn't study that. So that's in the clear. Plan B, not an issue. So the take-home message is this is important. But when you consider the limitations that I'm about to tell you here, you got to put it all into perspective. Biggest limitation, as we've already stated, is this happens with age. So that's number one. Two is that this happens already in the population who uses birth control, which is females. Third, they didn't really account for genetic predisposition, like who carries the neurofibromatosis type 2 gene, because these meningiomas are much more common in patients with neurofibromatosis type 2 gene mutation. What about that? And then the last confounder, which is probably the least likely to be an issue here, is that these kind of meningiomas are linked to ionizing radiation exposure over time, all right? So typically like some kind of head and neck x-ray therapy where you get ionizing radiation that can set up the risk for meningiomas later. So the big confounders here is age. This happens in women. What about genetic predisposition? That was hard to evaluate. And of course, possibility for environmental issues, although out of the four confounders, this fourth one of ionizing radiation probably is the least impactful here. As we get ready to wrap this up, podcast family, any word from the manufacturer? I mean, is Pfizer like silent on this? Is it like crickets? The answer is no, because they did give a little press release after this, which is the responsible thing to say. And here's what they stated. Quote, "We are aware of this potential risk associated," see, that's a good word, associated, "with long-term use of progestins, and in collaboration with regulatory agencies, we are in the process of updating product labels and patient information leaflets with appropriate wording," end quote. So that's yet to be seen of what they do as of March 29th, 2024. But at least Pfizer is on that. Like, yeah, hey, we see it. We are aware of it and we'll put it out in our label. That's a responsible thing to do. So what's the take home message? Hey, let patients know, let them pick, maybe shorten duration because there was no association with just 1 year of use. And in terms of LARCs, guys, you know, I'm very LARC friendly, not a sponsor. Just pick a LARC if the patient is willing to do so. All right, podcast family, we got it. Let's go ahead and take it home. All right, podcast family, that brings us to a wrap. As always, we're thankful for you and we're glad you're part of our podcast community. We'll see you on another episode of Clinical Pearls. We'll be right back.